Let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before you this afternoon. We come before you, Father God, with praise and thanksgiving. We thank you, Father, for waking us up today and for starting us on our way. We thank you, Father God, to be able to come together in this day to be able to receive the word, to hear the word. So, Father God, I pray for those that are in attendance. I pray, Father God, for the ministers. And I ask, Father God, that you allow them to come forth with a word that you've given to them. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and thanks in all things. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful.
Amen.
Thank you. Beautifully done. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. What is prayer? What is prayer in its form? Because just like this morning, I demonstrated that on purpose. I want, because most of the time when you ask people to pray, they're like, I don't know. And that's because they really don't know what prayer really is. They know how they pray, but they might think it's not acceptable to the world because we know, people think because you got the gift again, your words come smoothly and everything. You got this certain voice that they pray, real good. And you got this certain anointing that I don't have. See, I just say, oh, simple prayer to God. I just communicate to God, like he was sitting in my living room. We just talking. That's my prayer. And I don't think people want to hear that. But that's not true. That's exactly what prayer is. And so the things that we have been taught down through the years has said really alienated us from God, right? We don't want to start, sorry, because we don't think we live up to what the world has done. The hypocrites, the hypocrisy that's out there has a lot of times separated us from a real open relationship with God where we want to share it with everybody else. So we just keep our prayer life to ourselves. Okay. We know what the Bible say. The Bible say don't be like the heathen and praying out loud and these real long prayers that go on and on and on and on and on. And you get tired all the time. You ever be in church and they're just praying and praying and praying and praying. They pray so much, like my mother is Catholic in a Catholic church. They just pray like every 5 minutes or so. By the time you get out of there, there's like 10 prayers that was said, I'm not putting that down, but I'm just saying God said that, prayer is just simple communication. So what is prayer in its form? Prayer is simply talking to God. Can we all talk to God? Absolutely. Okay. Communication of the human soul with the one who created that soul. So our soul, our real emotions, our intellect, we're pouring out to the creator, to the one that created us, right? And that's a good thing because he knows us, right? Because he created. Who knows? We say our husbands or our spouses, our wives know us better than anybody else. Not true, because they didn't create you. Father God knows all about you. He's the one that knows all about you. He is the one that created your soul. So prayer is the primary way for the believer to fellowship with God and directly communicate his emotions and desires with God. That's all. That's what prayer is. So anybody could talk to God, right? So what form does prayer take? Prayer can be silent. Some people, they ain't saying nothing. They might have their eyes closed and you start talking to them. Somebody did that to me. I don't know if it was, I think it was Minister Snowden. And I said something to them. They said, I'm praying. But they weren't saying a word, right? But they said, I'm praying because prayer can be silent. It could be audible. It could be private. You do a private prayer like most of us do. Sometimes prayer takes on a public form like it did today, formal or informal. Some people are more formal, some people are informal, right? But what Jesus said was he don't want those long hypocritical prayers with the robes and the, you know, and he doesn't mind a uniform or robe or whatever, but you must wear that and do all that in righteousness. You can't do that to be seen of men. And there's a lot of times we want to be seen of other people, and we want to feel, we want them to think we're more religious than they are. So we might even be start speaking in tongue in front of another, trying to build ourselves up. Like you know, people do that. You know, people that are really troubled do come in and try to build themselves up, you know, speaking in tongue and all that their stuff. And I speak in tongue, but you don't hear me speak. I don't know how many times y'all might have heard me speak in tongue, because it's not necessary. If interpretation is not going to follow that tongue, okay? And if interpretation is not the word of God, then it's not being interpreted properly. Okay? So I'm just using tongues because Paul had silenced the women that were outrageously doing this kind of stuff in the book of Corinthians. He was telling the women to be silent because of that reason. They was just usurping authority over the man, disrespecting him. Okay? There was temple prostitutes there. Paul just came and said, you guys over here, don't nobody, you just be silent. And I'm going to put an end to all this tongue speaking going on. When you want to speak in tongue, one at a time, and only three of y'all can speak, an interpretation better follow it. Because if people don't know what you're talking about, what good is tongue? So what good does it mean to be speaking in tongue? I mean, sometimes it comes out in a praise, you know. But the Bible says the prophet, we have control over our tongue. So when people are speaking in tongue and they said, I can't help it, I can't, that's a lie. Now, it doesn't mean they're of the devil. It means that they could be just immature, especially people that are new in speaking in tongue, because I've done it. When I was new speaking in tongue, your emotions, you get all wrapped up in the emotional part of it, and you feel like you don't have control over your tongue, okay? And you can't stop speaking, and nobody can stop you. You know, I got in trouble for that years ago, but I didn't know no better. That's what I saw. That's what I seen everybody doing. It was out of order. And so I brought that disorder over to the next place that I went to. So, yes, you can control it. Now, I don't know if in situations where and you still are, God is in control. When God is giving you a message to give to somebody in tongue, when there's going to be a prophetic utterance and there's going to be interpretation afterwards, you know, usually the whole church will get silent and let that person speak in tongue so that we can hear the interpretation. But when you have everybody speaking at one time, or someone just out of order, and we'll be able to tell, you'll be able to tell from the Spirit of God who's real and what's not real. Okay, and there's a lot of fake stuff going on, a lot of false stuff going on. So you want to discern that. Make sure that you're in the presence of God. What form prayer can be silent, audible, private, public, formal, or informal. But all prayer must be offered in faith. Okay, so if I say, do you want to pray? And you say, I'll pray. But you don't have no faith behind that. You got, you know, there's no need of you praying. You must, faith, prayer must be offered in faith, in believing. Okay? So, but the Bible says in James 1:6, in this study, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, John 16:23, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26. In other words, as the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia puts it, Christian's prayer in its full New Testament meaning is prayer addressed to God the Father in the name of Christ as the mediator and through the enabling grace of the indwelling Spirit. Okay. So I didn't even mean to put this in here about the wicked have no desire to pray, because they don't, but they wanted to in here. So we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus through the grace of the indwelling Spirit, the Holy Spirit, leads us and guides us, right? Because we don't know what to pray for. So he leads us and guides us. Teach us to pray in Luke 11. In Luke 11, the disciple says, teach us to pray. So one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples, because John taught his disciples and Jesus just repeated the prayer form. And so what form, what is the structure to pray? When you pray, there's no set time, no set structure. So you don't have to pray at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Now, if we all get together and say we're going to all lift up a prayer at a certain time, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you individually. Okay, we're talking about you as an individual. There's no set time for you to pray, no set structure. Some people have been taught you can't pray until the strike of six or dawn or something. I forget how it went back in the day. But you, there's no set time or structure when you pray. Now, remember, prayer is just talking to God. And if you want to scream and holler at God, like, that's on you. But I don't pray that way. Okay? I just have a conversation with God. So the model or pattern for addressing God in the way the Jews never did. So we got a framework, a model or pattern for addressing God in a way that the Jews never did in the Old Testament. They did collectively, but not individually. And we're talking about individually now. Okay. They didn't have this right to come to God individually and address our Father, which art in heaven. They couldn't do that. They had to go through the Holy of Holies. The preacher or the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies or the temple part. And they had a string on the end of his garment, because if he wasn't righteous, God would strike him down dead and they would have to drag the body out. Nobody else was allowed to go in. So, man, that's where they got confession and all that from the Old Testament, when high priest had to go and offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. Now we don't have to do that, because I'll show you later where Jesus Christ already did that, and that veil was ripped and torn, where now we can go to God ourselves. We can go to God ourselves. We don't need nobody to pray for us. We don't need no mediator. You mean I could really pray for myself? Well, why am I keep asking everybody to pray for me? Because when two or three are gathered in his name, he's there in the midst. So we think it's more powerful when there's more of us praying together. But you still can go to God yourself and pray. Know that you have that right. Do not think that you don't have that right to pray for yourself. Too many people in the prayer line got other people laying hands and praying for them, and they ain't going to God themselves. They're not being taught. So we want to be taught today. Our Father, which art in heaven. So Luke 11, 1, it starts off, that prayer starts off with our Father, which art in heaven. Now let's talk about that. Our Father. So our Father is affectionately known as, I call him Father because I affectionately call him Father. I just don't call him Father as a title. I'm really talking about he's my daddy, okay? So when you're praying to your Father, you got to embrace him, or you're allowed to embrace him as daddy, papa, Abba, Father. Abba just means father, father, dad. What do you call God when you go to him? I think Minister Snow, when she was a little girl, I think she said, because my daddy, did you say my daddy, Minister Snow, to your friends when you were in the Girl Scouts? What did you call them?
I can't get.
I hear you.
Can you, Father?
Yeah. You called him Father?
Yes.
Oh, you said my father.
Yeah, my father.
My father, okay, because my father going to stop the rain. My father, but she said, put that my on there. My father, not y'all's father, my father. So she made it affectionately affectionate, you know, intimate, that intimacy. This is my dad. She wasn't saying that's not your dad, but she's like, my father, the person I know that got my back, the father I know that gives me good gifts. He's going to stop the rain. And he really did. So from that invocation, we see that you have the right to approach God, the creator, the sovereign, eternal one, and call him daddy. Okay? You have that right. So that's first of all, when he says, our Father, which art in heaven. Now, God presents himself as a father who responds to his people. And Matthew 7, 9, and 11 says, or what man is there of you whom if his son asks for bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then being evil, he's saying us, if we for sin and we being evil and we know how to give good gifts unto your children, you know how to buy them Nikes or whatever the name brand is, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? But John 20 and 17 says, but go to my brethren and say unto them, this is Jesus talking, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. Not Jesus didn't say, I ascend unto my Father and to my God. That scripture, John 20, 17, you might want to write that down. It says, but tell my brethren that I ascend or I go up into my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Now, because I paid the price for you, this is not just my Father, this is your Father, and not just my God, but your God. So God is showing us right here that you have the right. You don't have to go through confession. You don't have to go through at the church, you know, at the holies of holies, that temple, that building that was there before. Okay? The church are the people, not the building anymore. So just think of the prodigal son. It's a really good story, but it's more about a loving father than it is about the prodigal son. We named it the prodigal son, but it really talks about a loving father in Luke 15. Because when the prodigal son come back, the enormous affection of the father for this disobedient child is overwhelming. This is a disobedient child. He goes out there in the world. And he comes back and his father shows him nothing but affection. He only wanted to be a servant. When he comes back, he's like, you know, you have to kick your kids out the house. Well, you don't have to kick them out the house. You know how they get grown and say they leave him when you know they're not ready to leave, but they go out there in the world and they experience life and it wasn't all what they thought it was going to be. And the friend that they said they was going to stay with or they might have been in love with and now kicked them out and they done broke up. They ain't got nowhere to go. They go back to home and they done lost their bedroom where they used to sleep because you done passed it down to the next person, the next child. And they said, that's okay. I'll just sleep on the couch. I'll wash the dishes. I'll take out the garbage. I'll do whatever you want to, whatever you need me to do. You says, nonsense. Let me put a ring on your finger. I'm going to kill we're going to make some ribs and some chitlins and put a robe on you. We're going to dress you up. In other words, we're going to buy you new clothes and we're going to throw you a party. That's what the father did with the prodigal son. You know, and the other son got jealous about that because the father didn't chastise, because that father knew that prodigal son had went out there and got his testimony. Huh? He needed a reason why to serve a loving father, right? Because we can grow up and serve God because our parents did, because somebody else did, because we know he exists, because we look up in the sky and say, yeah, somebody had to make that, right? But the affection, him knowing, him not disciplining us for going out there into the world when we did and embracing us when we come back, because he knew we had to get our testimony together. We learn from our mistakes, right? So he knew his son had learned when he came back. and didn't expect to have the same place or the same room he had before. He didn't expect none of that. That's why God knew. Now, somebody come back in the house and they like, I want my room back. Now, I want my room back and I ain't doing nothing. I want my, you know, they ain't ready. They ain't learned nothing. This enormous affection. I just can't get over that. The enormous affection of our Father all the time when we're hurting, when we mess up and we go to him. You know, we go to him. He just receives us with loving kindness, with his grace and mercy. Oh, so you're that son. You're that prodigal son. I'm that prodigal son. And the Father's arms are open to embrace you and kiss you. Don't ever think you're not good enough. He is our Father. And that's where all prayers begin. He is the source of everything. And his resources are unlimited. So when you go to our Father, which art in heaven, you must know he is the source of everything. And his resources are unlimited. And he is our Father. And just think how, you know, you say, I ain't going to be like my father, beat my button, blah, blah. I'm going to be a loving. Yeah, I want my child to learn. And I'm going to embrace my child and teach him the best way I can. Right? Discipline without punishment. And this father saw that this son was already disciplined. When he come in, said, I'm coming in as a servant, as a slave. I don't even want my status back. And because you came in that way, discipline, learned your lesson, we're going to put a ring on it. We're going to kill the fattest calf. We're going to put a robe on you. We're going to throw you a party. He is the source of everything, and his resources are unlimited. He is our Father, and that's where prayer begins. Our Father, which art in heaven, because that's where he lives. Father God, so this is just a note. God is called such 15 times in the Old Testament. He's called Father 15 times in the Old Testament, but never in prayer. He was called Father 65 times in the New Testament and 100 times in the book of John. Something has happened to bring God near to us in this parental relationship to him. God is eager now to introduce himself this way. And if God is called Father only 15 times in the Old Testament and 65 times in the New Testament and 100 times just alone in the book of John, something happened from the Old Testament to the New Testament that changed the relationship now with God as a parent to us. And he's eager to introduce himself this way. And see, this is why you all don't need us ministers and us pastors to pray for you. You know, it's good that you come to us and ask us for prayer, you know, because Jesus prayed for his disciples and all that. But we want you to know that you also have access to him, you know, because if I'm praying for you, all I can pray is God's will be done in your life. You know, if you're a disobedient child, it wouldn't do no good for me to ask God to give you everything that you desire in your disobedience, because that prayer would not be in the name of Jesus, meaning in the Jesus will. Okay. So all I can pray for, like if you're being disobedient or if you're committing sin and everything, I can't condone that. I could just pray, God, your will be done. Draw this person closer to you. And you can really do that yourself, because if you are satisfied that you want a relationship with God, you no longer want to live in sin, you will pray that prayer yourself to God. Because wonder if I'm dead and I'm not around, and wonder if there ain't no more churches, because it looks like it's coming to that, right? We've been on Zoom for quite some time, okay? Wonder if there's no ministers that show up, you know? Then who's gonna pray for you? So God wants you to develop that relationship yourself. He is our Father, and that's where all prayers begin. He is your daddy. Hallowed be thy name. So our Father, which art in heaven. And then the next one, the next sentence is, hallowed be thy name. So even though he's our daddy, right? And we got this relationship, don't we feel good now? This is our daddy. When your natural father make you mad, you got a father that's eternal and heavenly, okay? Before your natural father, you know? And we be getting upset and everything, but our natural father, like he got all to say so, like he's the creator. I'd be like, I'm going above you. I'm going to my real father, okay? I'm going to see what he got to say about it. So don't forget, though, God is sacred or holy and important balance. So hallowed be thy name. It's less like holy. You can actually substitute that word hallowed for holy is his name. You know, hallowed be thy name. So when you enter into prayer with God, okay, you got to go, you know, he ain't your homeboy. He ain't your homeboy. Don't think because I could go to my daddy and stop the rain. No, you got to go there knowing that he is also holy. He is not to be disrespected, taken lightly. You know, you should really be going, you know, with a little bit of fear and trembling, but knowing this is my daddy. He is sacred and holy, and that's the important balance. Don't get it twisted because I give you access to me that you think you can come with some nonsense, with some crap, okay? Disrespectful, feet dirty, not physically dirty. I'm talking about the places you've been in that you ain't trying to come out of. Now, if you're trying to come out of that, that's different. So, A, his name is to be hallowed or honored above all things, right? Our father, my daddy, is in heaven and he is holy. And I got to keep this balance that he is to be honored above all things. B, this is not supposed to be a casual verbiage that some make it to be because of its familiarity to us. And we do that, you know, this casual verbiage. Okay. I had a vice chair one time that he loved to pray. But he just pray, like Kevin pray, yeah, blah, 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 blah. He don't even think about what he's praying. He just say these same words and I stop them. I'm like, If you don't have no meaning behind your prayer, then stop praying. People like him to pray because he can get all religious and stuff on you and, you know, and sound good because they sound good. What? Men pick women sometimes because they look good. But boy, when they get them in the final, they can't stimulate them mentally. They like, oh my God, I done married this trophy, but God, dog, ain't got no mind. I can't even have a decent conversation. So that casual stuff, that casual verbiage, because now God is familiar to us, that's not what it's supposed to be. This is a statement that recognizes the enormous respect that is required when you enter God's presence. So again, we're talking about that enormous respect. Before you even start praying, you remember the enormous respect that is required for you to even enter in God's presence. So don't think that you're entering God's presence, first of all, disrespectfully. Okay, you mad at him? You tell him that with respect. Dad, I'm mad at you. I thought this and that, daddy, you know, blah, 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 blah. You don't go and say, you know, I hate you. Like I did. I did that in the past. I hate you because blah, 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 blah. And I didn't know no better when I was young. Probably about 18, 19. This is a statement that recognizes the enormous respect that is required when you enter God's presence. So be ye angry, but sin not. So even if, you know, we mad because we thought God meant something this way and it turned out that way, we thought it was of God, go to him and tell him you mad with respect, knowing that you're in his presence. He is holy. He is holy. Okay? And so you can't come at him in any kind of way. Recognize at the beginning of your prayer that you are entering to the Holy of Holies. And this is what's in the Old Testament where the holies of holies and the vestibule and the holy place that was called the holy place was all separated with four quarters, I believe. I haven't really studied that in a long time, but that's where the priest had to go in for you. Now, this, when we go to God our Father and hallowed be thy name, that is now the new holy of holies. That respect that you're given God's presence, that's the Old Testament holy of holies. That's the new holy of holies for you in this dispensation of grace, which is the sixth dispensation or time period. So, E, while there is familiarity, love, and care in a personal, affectionate relationship full of generosity, because God said he wants to give us good gifts, right? So he wants to give you everything you're asking for, but in his son's name, in Jesus' name. That means in Jesus' will. So like, if you're like, God, I want this man. I want this woman, God. I got to have them, God. Please. Please. And he's like, no, but I'm a father, want to give you good gifts. So you can't see, right? You could only see this time period right now. He's making you feel good, or she's making you feel good and she looks good. You married a trophy. Yes, she's pretty and everybody acknowledged her beauty and everything. But later on, you're going to get bored because she can't stimulate you mentally. She can't help you grow. She is not a partner to you. She can't help you get to where you need to go. Okay. So yeah, you got her on your arm for the world, but you are miserable in this marriage, in this relationship. So God says, I see that in your future. That's what's going to happen. So I might not grant that to you because I want you to have the best. And I'm a father who loves you. And I know all things you're going to have to trust me on this. And we're like, I don't want to trust you. No, that's what I want. That's what I want. I'm laughing at myself because I've been through this. That's what I want. And God might give you exactly what you want. I'm just letting you know that ain't coming from me, but I'm just going to release you. You go ahead and you're going to flirt with the devil. Go ahead. You flirt with the devil on your own and you get into trouble. Next thing you're praying, God, please take this cup from me. Hallowed be thy name. 1 Samuel 18:13. 18:30. Every time the Philistines' commanders came out for battle, David was more successful than all of Saul's officers, so that his name was highly esteemed. And this is what 1 Samuel says. His name was highly esteemed. Now we're talking about an individual named David, right? Because every time the Philistine commanders came out for battle, David was successful or more successful than any of Saul's officers. So his name was highly esteemed. Now, does that mean that everybody liked the name of David? No, that meant the name, David's name stands for the whole character of the person revealed, like God. His character was manifested in his acts. Well, his name was highly esteemed, not the name of David was highly esteemed, but his acts. What David did was highly esteemed, his manifested acts. All that he is, that manifests itself in all that he does. So that's what it, when your name is highly esteemed, is all that he is, David is, that manifests itself in all that he did. So the name of God is simply that which refers to his character. So God's name really refers to his character, his nature, his attributes, his personality, his works. Psalms 9:10 says, those who know your name put their trust in you. Those who know your name put their trust in you. So his name is all that he is, right? That name is all that he is. We affirm the fullness of the glory of his person when we come to him in prayer. So when we come to God in prayer, And we're saying our Father, we're not saying that as a title. We're saying by all he is, we affirm the fullness of the glory of his person. We come to him in prayer because of his attributes, his personality, his works, his nature, his character, everything that he is to us. Psalms 27 and 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And John 17, 6 says, Jesus says, I have manifested your name. Now, this is Jesus speaking. I like this because it says, here, let me get this up here because it's throwing me off. Okay, the sixth verse, it says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. What did Jesus say? I have manifest your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. So when Jesus Christ came at the unction of his Father and commanded by his Father, he says, I have now manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Jesus meant I manifested you, your person. When he says I manifested your name, he means I manifested you, your person, your power, your truth to the people you gave me. In other words, Father, God, or Daddy, I put you on display. So Jesus revealed what God is, his true nature. God in the past spoke through the prophets. Now he speaks through his son. So in the Old Testament where God spoke through the prophets, now he speaks through his son, Jesus. So God's name is not a title. It's the total of the person. I'm going to show you that. You know, some people just know him as God and they use God as a title and not affectionately. It's the total of the person. Like David's name was high esteemed. God's name is highly esteemed as the total person though. The names that help us understand the fullness of the person. So here come, I'm going to give you some names that help you understand who this God is that you're praying to in the fullness of that person. Elohim. Elohim, some say, but we pronounce it Halloween. That's the third word used in the Bible. That's the name that acknowledge him as the creator. So that's his name, God, but he's Elohim. He is the creator. That's what that means. Two, El Elyon. Genesis 14, 19, God the Most High. Blessed be Abram or Abraham of the Most High God, a possessor of heaven and earth. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. You know, a lot of times if somebody in another country refers to God as Elohim, you get all upset and excited. His name is Jesus. His name is, you know, there he got many names. He got many names. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. Jehovah Ra, the Lord our shepherd. Jehovah Sikinu, that T is solid. You pronounce that Sikinu. Jehovah Sikinu, the Lord, our righteousness is what that means. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Jehovah Makadesh Kim, Jehovah Makadesh Kim, the Lord that sanctifies you. And Adonai, which just means Lord. You know, some people refer to him as Adonai, and that just means Lord. And most wonderful of all, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him All the character of God is revealed. In Hebrews 1 discusses the supremacy of Jesus. In Hebrews 1:8, God is saying these words to Jesus. He said, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God. See, God is calling his Son God, right? But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, the scepter of uprightness and the scepter of your kingdom. So all the above sums up God's name. Do we have any questions so far? Because I'm going to move on.
Well, I got a question, but
what is your question? But
relating back to in the beginning when you were talking about how you should pray or where. Uh-huh. And I just thought of this thing is so funny to me because they all say, let's bow your heads. So sometimes I be looking around, like if you're in church, you look around like this, everybody got their heads bowed. Uh-huh. And it's like, okay, if you don't, are you in trouble?
No.
Or close your eyes?
No, no. People, we ask a lot of times to bow your heads because that's where you can concentrate on what a person is saying. But there's a lot of time where I'm in an untrusting place that I don't bow my head and I don't close my eyes. I keep my eyes open. Okay. And so because you're supposed to watch as well as pray. Okay. So like I know, like I'm going to ask you to bow your head. You're in your own home. You're safe, you know, or something like that. But no. No, you don't have to bow your head and you don't have to keep your eyes closed.
That is just I always thought I was going to be in trouble if I didn't.
Oh, no. That is to bring the focus. That's just to focus you. So you ain't looking around or somebody hitting you and you like, stop, you know? So that's to bring the order and the focus. That's why people do that. But no, you're not going to get in trouble.
Can I say something?
Sure. Who's that?
Leah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like I never bow my head because I never understood why are we bowing our head to the devil while we're praying to God. So for me, I never bow my head.
Okay.
And I don't talk to anybody, so usually my eyes are open anyway. But
it's like sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But it's when I don't, then I'd be like, am I doing something wrong?
No. I guess I'm a watchdog. My eyes are always open. So I never really close my eyes, but I've always had a problem with bowing my head. Like, I just don't like that we have to bow our head down to the devil kind of to pray up to God. That's how I always interpreted it. So I just never bow my head.
Anything that's done without faith is sin. So for you two, you know, to pray the way you pray, it's fine because you're doing that in faith. You like, because if you do bow your head, Leah, then you would be sinning because to you, you feel that's bowing to the devil. To others, we don't feel that's bowing to the devil when we bow our head. That's just like saying every time I look down, or like if I'm working on a roof and I look down, that I'm bowing to the devil or I'm looking down to the devil. God is the creator. He owns heaven and earth.
Yeah, but I just don't understand. Why don't we look up?
I mean, you can. Some people do. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you a picture right here. I'm on 15. Right here. My brother looks up when he prays right here.
We all have that picture too. He didn't send it
off. I stole that picture off of him. I think I used it in my mother's obituary. But when he sent that to me, I just like cropped it out. And I think I took this his other picture. I took this Kentucky Fried Chicken. Is that Kentucky Fried Chicken cup out?
Yeah.
But I took it out of my mother's, but I left it in here because I thought that was cute. After I took it out, I thought about it and I said, no, because this is what I'm talking about. He's like being real comfortable with Kentucky Fried Chicken. And he's just like, God, you know, this is how I do my daddy.
He probably collected money in that cup. I'm joking.
Love that. that. I don't know. He might have been doing that. That might be why he was praying to God. He was telling me he don't do nothing no more. He's like, all I do is make tapes and send. I was like, oh, do I know? He sent me like 10 videos a day. He's so in love with God, though. He has a relationship with God. He just struggled with drugs, but he had that relationship with God. He always loved the Lord. And my brother, when we were younger, he always talked about that's evil. That's evil. You know, we got that gift of discernment. For me, Donna, Tony, and Mommy, we have discernment. We have gifts of discernment. And so you'll hear us talking about, that's evil. You know, but Tony really went to, I never knew what it was, you know. But it's discernment, being able to discern good from evil. Tony called a lot of stuff evil when he was even acting evil. He was the one fighting the cops and stuff. But he would say, that one's evil. That one's evil. He always used that word, evil. And I used to think, I'm like, as evil as he is, he's using evil. But he wasn't evil. He was just what y'all might call bad. What they say a kid is not bad. What they call it?
Bad seed.
Mischievous. Yeah, mischievous. So yeah. So, but Adonai just means Lord, y'all, getting back to the seer. And is there any other questions before we move on? Okay, so all the above sums up God's name. Now you know who you're praying to, right? Now you know God. And these are the very like basic stuff. Like I want to go back to and set that foundation. Like we're praying to this God we can't see, we don't know. We're like, who is he? Well, he's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord is present. He's the Lord that sanctifies. He's the Lord of righteousness. He knows. He's all these things. He's the Lord, our banner. He lifts us up, you know. He's Adonai, you know. And these are all the above that I gave you sums up God's name. This is who he is. So this is just a summary. When you pray, you go to God as Father, but you immediately become aware that you are entering into this intimacy with him that now became available to us after the veil was ripped and torn in this dispensation of grace. So when we get ready to pray, right, I always say, this is holy ground. That's why God said in the Old Testament, take your sandals off. This is holy ground. Remember he said that to Moses? He said that to, I think, Jake. I forgot who else he said that to. To when it was approaching God, when God talked to Moses and with the burning bush and everything, he's like, take your sandals off because this is holy ground you're entering on. And that's the attitude you must have when you pray. So this attitude be when you go to God as your father, as your daddy, as your papa, okay, as your Abba, you immediately become aware that you are entering to this intimacy that he's now allowing you with him to have a conversation that now became available to you that was never available to you before his son paid the price for it to become available to you. So that's why when Jesus died on the cross and the Bible says the veil was ripped and torn. Okay, so now we're not longer have to go through man to get to God. Now we could go to God ourselves and receive the grace because Jesus Christ, our mediator, paid the price for us. Because see, back in the Old Testament, the reason why they had to go through the priest because God needed a sacrifice. Somebody had to pay the price for sin. Nobody was righteous enough to pay the price. Everybody was full of sin. That's why God had to come down into the sun, okay, as a son onto this earth, be human, okay, without having a human father. Because if he would have had a human father, if Joseph was Jesus' father, he would have been just like every other man that was born with a natural father, and sin would have been in his blood. Because the male determines the sex of the child. Okay, so that bloodline is important. His blood comes from his father. His father impregnates a virgin that has never been touched, never been tarnished, never been. So that's why Jesus could pay that blood sacrifice. He could make that blood sacrifice on behalf of us, because there had to be a blood sacrifice, because God said it. His word can't return void. That's what he wanted. That's what he said. And none of the priests lived up to that. So all while you're still going through confession and all that, and got these priests forgiving your sin, that's just not the way it's supposed to be. Man can't forgive your sin. How a man that's full of sin like you going to forgive your sin? How am I going to forgive your sin? My job is to lead you and to guide you into God's presence. He gave all of us a gift. I'm a gift as a teacher. I have a prophetic gift. And I also lay ministries where I will do an apostle's work. Not an apostle, but I do an apostle's work. Okay, so how can I forgive you? Are you saying that don't make me holier than you? That makes my gift different than yours. You are to respect my gift. God put somebody in charge and you are to respect that. And I'm to respect your gift as well. So this veil that was ripped and torn was, now we don't have to go to the Holy of Holies. The temple veil being torn in two. Matthew 27:51. It says, let me put that over there so I can see. The temple veil was torn in two. Mark 15:37-38 tells us, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, right here, torn in two. And the Jewish temple, the veil served as the barrier to the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was said to be where God's presence rested, and it housed the Ark of the Covenant. Y'all hear me talk about the Ark of the Covenant? You got to look that up and study the Ark of the Covenant. Only the high priest could enter in this area, and then only one time per year. Yeah, I forget, failed to tell you that. He could only go to God only once a year to make atonement for the sins of Israel. Back in the Old Testament, it shows a high priest here inside a temple. This is what this is supposed to represent, right? And you see where that veil that was the barrier between the Holy of Holies, the other part of the temple, and between God's presence, and how that was ripped when Jesus paid that penalty and God was satisfied. He made atonement for our sins. And so no longer do you need this. Well, man might be upset about that because they're still trying to do it. Still trying to make atonement for your sins. Mark 15:38. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top up to the bottom. It's just different scriptures to say it. Luke 23:45 says, and the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. The veil was torn from the top to the bottom. The veil was torn into two parts. It's just a different scripture saying the same thing. So that's where you're left in now. Don't have to go here to the high priest once a year. You could only go once a year. Now, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin, and now you can go to God. You got access to him as long as you approach him in what I told you about his holiness. Know when you go to him, he's holy, okay? He's holy. Respect is everything to God. Oh, don't that make you feel good that you can come to him now on your own and you really don't need man? The intimacy with God, we can guide you. You come to us for instruction, for guidance. It's okay to ask us to pray for you. But you know, some people just constantly asking others to pray for them. I tell people, pray for yourself or pray, or you lead us in prayer. I'll tell you to lead us in prayer. Because I want you to know that it's nothing but communication. And so the Holy of Holies was just divided into, I don't think this is the greatest diaphragm I pulled down at the last minute, but it was the Holy of Holies, and then you had that veil right here, which was torn because it separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place, you know. And now you can go straight through here. That there is no separation right here. And then we'll read about the vestibule. The Holy of Holies is a term in the Hebrew Bible that refers to the inner sanctuary of the tabernacle, where God's presence appeared. According to Hebrew tradition, the area was defined by four pillars that held up the veil of the covering under which the Ark of the Covenant was held above the floor. The Ark, according to Hebrew scripture, contained the Ten Commandments, which were given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. King Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem where the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be kept. And we could talk about that later. I think I talked a little bit about the Ark of the Covenant before, but that was probably inside church. But what I wanted to give you today was to the Lord's Prayer and to how to break that down and make you feel comfortable that you're not praying wrong. And I thank you for your questions, because, you know, we just take for granted. We like tell people to pray, and a lot of times they don't know what, like, are you going to accept my form of prayer? I don't pray like all like that. You know, I don't pray like you pray, you know? So we have individual relationships, personal relationships with God, right? So we're all different in the way we pray. Like Tony is looking up. Leah looks up. That probably is a more form of a prayer that Leah would do. Pray looking up. Erica doesn't close her eyes. She probably do sometimes, but she don't most of the time. You know, she's out in public, she ain't closing her eye because she's a watchdog like Leah. Watchdogs, usually they watch. Lapping up the water like a dog, like, I got my eye on the enemy, right? They ain't got their face all the way bowed down flat on the ground. Remember the lappers and the, what was it? The neppers and the lappers? So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I didn't go through that. Kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, like he gave us right now, what we're eating, the word, that's our daily bread, okay, as well as our natural food. And because, you know, man don't live by bread alone, man don't live by bread, natural food alone, chicken wings and hot sauce. Man lives by every word of that proceeded from the mouth of God. Man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So the God, what you're getting today is food. As we forgive those who trespass against us, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So forgive us as we forgive. Did you get that part? Forgive us as we forgive. So God, when you go to God and ask them to forgive your trespass, and he's assuming that you're forgiving others if he forgives you. Because if you're refusing to forgive others when he's forgiving you, he ain't listening to you. He ain't going to do that. He's not going to forgive you if you can't forgive other people. And without forgiving other people, you cannot make it into heaven. He says that in his word. And lead us not into temptation. Because God don't lead us in temptation. He's going to deliver us from evil. You know, we're saying, God, shield us. Not that God himself is going to lead us into temptation. Okay? Well, the Holy Spirit did lead Jesus Christ to be tempted by the devil in the wilderness. What led Jesus after he fasted for 40 days? The Holy Spirit led him. So God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So where the Holy Spirit leads you to be tested, he's not going to lead you to be tempted, okay, by the devil, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. But I wanted to go and introduce you to God, your Father, is the whole purpose of this, so that you can now have that conversation that we always wind up, and I always tell y'all to have this conversation. Now you're more relaxed when having this conversation. You should feel empowered now, okay? That you can have this conversation. And it's okay if you don't want to pray publicly. It's okay if you don't want to pray formally. It's okay if you want to be informal. You don't want to close your eyes or whatever. However you come to God, you have that right now. All that formality is gone. Jesus paid the price. No preacher, no pastor, nobody back in the Old Testament could atone for our sins. They couldn't do it. They were all full of sin, had a sinful nature. They all failed. And they kept failing and failing and failing and failing. It was punishment, 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 eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Oh my God, we're going to be nobody left. God said, I got to do this thing myself. So when you come and have that conversation with Jesus, you're going to remember that you're standing on holy ground. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground at the well. Christ speaks to the problem of a guilty past. Exodus 3:5, the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. I got this mixed up with the woman at the well here. Okay. But he speak to the woman at the well about her guilty past. That's in her guilty past. He says, you no longer have to be forgiven. You no longer have to go through man. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I'm the one that can forgive you of your sins. I made the atonement. So Father, I have put you on display now. I have revealed to you everything I did. Talking about Jesus Christ, everything I did, Father, I gave you the glory. Okay. Even though, you know, man want to praise me and everything, I direct them to you, Father, because you're my daddy. You're my papa. I just come down here to do the work that you needed me to do. And now I'm back on the right hand, sitting at the right hand of my Father, God. So this is all I got today. Are there any questions?
Pastor Jackie, I just want to know, when they say prayer warriors, what does that mean?
Okay, so there's some people that just love to pray, and God has ordained some people that just pray all the time. They must be spirit-filled, not people that just say a bunch of words all the time in long sentences.
Mm-hmm.
But those are usually intercessors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those are the intercessors, okay, which they have a gift of intercession that they can really get a prayer through. Like if we're all together and we're all in, say we're all trapped. Say there was a tornado. Because there's going to be some that hit here. It just hit six states close to us, right?
Yeah, Tanisha and Delina lived in Kentucky.
Yeah, Delina's okay. That didn't hit her part.
Yeah, Tanisha's okay.
Okay, good. Okay, so is Delina on here today?
No.
Okay.
She's out of town.
Oh, okay.
She said she wouldn't be able to make it today.
Yeah, I did talk to her yesterday. I mean, I text her. So anyway, that's what a prayer warrior. Now, so other people use that term prayer warrior, and it's fake, right? They think that somebody sounds good saying a lot of words. Ooh, they could, and that's what makes you feel inferior. You feel like you can't pray because you see these people praying like this, you know, these long prayers, long words, and you feel inferior, like what you're doing is wrong, when all along you're the right one. That's how you're supposed to pray, just what you're doing. In your secret closet, meaning in your bathroom, in your bedroom, in your car, in your seat where you are right now, that wherever you was comfortable for you. That's what prayer is, just communication, it's just talking to God. Now, if we were trapped, like I was saying, in a place and stuff, I would say, Tara, Minister Tara, lead us in prayer, because I know she got to get the intercession, right? So she might be walking a little closer, especially if we all believers, but we know we wrong. Like, if we know that we in a place, I'm like, oh, I didn't forgive this prayer. I didn't do, you know, I don't know if my prayer is going to get through. I'm going to call Minister Tara, and hopefully she's still maintaining her close relationship with God. Hopefully she has forgiven those that when God forgave her, hopefully she's forgiven others. You know, so that's really what a prayer warrior is. They love the prayer. They can fight demons. They can pull down stronghold. But that takes a closer walk with God. That's a close relationship with God. So you have to don't just look at the person and look at how they sound, because that's so full of sin. When you look at a person and they say, oh, they sound great. Okay. When they're preaching and stuff, we got caught up in that. I didn't even say, oh, he got a great voice to preach, you know, because like, especially when them voices are like thunder, you know, like that guy with the bass at the Temptation, I forgot his name. Remember the Temptation, the older ones, remember the group, the Temptation, and that bass sound, you're like, oh, he could preach, he sound like God. Because we're taught that when we're younger. You know, God, that's why Moses felt so inadequate to speak like us. Like we feel inadequate to pray, because he's like, they're used to a voice with authority and stuff like that. My little puny, meany voice, I feel inferior. Moses stuttered. So he really felt like he couldn't do the job that God wanted him to do. God, like, I wouldn't call you to do it unless it ain't about you stuttering. I will make it plain. I will. But that takes a lot of faith. You know, it takes a lot of faith for us to trust God, right? And that's why we have to have that closer walk. But now that you know who God the Father, I'm sure that some of us on here, the more seasoned ones, know that God, I already knew God is their daddy, you know, but I hope they've gotten something from this, and I hope they do the homework in Matthew chapter 6 and review that, and this time, forget about what you were taught, okay, and focus on how the Holy Spirit is going to open up your mind, because if you're not open up to truth, then you won't expand. You will not renew your mind daily. So you don't have to renew your mind once a year like the priest did. They would go and try to atone for your sins once a year. And if the priest was full of sin, he was going to die. God was going to strike him down dead. And you wasn't allowed in there. So you had to pull the string and pull his body out. Oh, that was just, y'all, there's just so much you got to know. About how it used to be done, and now that the veil is torn in your entrance now to God, your access. He's like, I'm giving you access, but don't take this for granted. See, I'm giving you this, but don't take me for granted. Don't disrespect me. Anything else? Did I answer that question?